your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to continue on in our series in Ephesians. So, Ephesians chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 1 through 13. Ephesians 3, 1 through 13. I'll give y'all a few more minutes or moments, seconds to get there. Ephesians chapter 3, 1 through 13. And so if you're turning there, as you can see, if you can see in your Bible, like Ephesians itself is divided up, or you see Ephesians, there's six chapters, and we're on the third chapter now, and I heard this once, how Ephesians is perfectly divided up in the first half. The first three, it talks about this idea of who we are. And then the last three is more of an idea of, you know, what we should do because of who we are. And that's kind of where we're approaching. As we finish off, as we get into chapter 3, we're kind of finishing off this whole idea of, you know, the beginning is the whole idea of Ephesians. The beginning is all idea of right believing. Verses at the chapters 4 through 6 is this idea of right behaving. I also hear, like, is first three chapters, it's our calling, whereas the 4 through 6 is our conduct. And so, what we need to see here in this concluding chapter of this right believing or our calling is who we are in Christ and what He has done for us and in us, right? And as we finish that off, and then as we move on to chapters 4 through 6, we're gonna look at how, you know, what we're called to do, what we're empowered to do, what we're enabled to do. And because of who we are, we can see what we're motivated to do. And so just to kind of set that out, and that's kind of what we've been doing these past few weeks of looking at Ephesians 1 through 3. It's just kind of like, it's looking at the, if anything, the indicative of who we are, what has been done for us. And another way I've seen this broken down, I think it was Vodi Vakum, he says, in Ephesians 1, the whole idea of Ephesians 1 is that this idea of Christ and His headship over His body. And so that's what happened 2 weeks ago as I finished off chapter 1. We saw how Christ was the head of this body, how He made us into the sons and daughters. And so He was the head of this church, and He was the head of His people. And so that's what you see here in Ephesians chapter 1. And then in chapter 2, Pastor Wei came and talked about last week the unity of Christ's body. And so he talked about, you know, breaking down the walls of hostility, and he came and talked about how we are one. And so we see chapter 1, how Christ has headship over His body. And then in chapter 2, we see the unity of Christ's body. And then so in chapter 3, as we finish it off, this first half of this book, we have to see, this week and next week, we're going to see how that the body is to give glory to its head. As the body of Christ, we are to give glory to Christ, who is our head. And so what we need to see here today, if anything, going back to connecting to last week's lesson, is our unity is so critical and so important. It is so key to bringing glory to Christ as our head, right? And so that's how we're going to connect last week and this week and moving forward, is the unity that we have here is so vital to us bringing glory to Christ, who is our head. And so that's what we're going to do, and that's what we're going to look at in Ephesians chapter 3. And so let's look at this. I'm going to read this again, and then I want us to pray over this time. So read along with me if you can. In chapter 1, "For this reason I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by this revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which is not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Verse 7. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring the light to everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Verse 11. This was according to the eternal purposes that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. Pray with me. Pray for yourself. Pray for me as I get into this, as we get into this. Jesus, we ask for spiritual blessings. We ask for eyes to be able to see your word, for words that can penetrate our heart to change us. We ask for your power to unify us. We ask for your power to reveal the grace that has been given to us, the grace that is our foundation as the body. And I pray that you would help us. Help us be a body that is unified. To help us be a body that is unified under your plans. To help us be a body that sees you as our head and gives you all the glory that you deserve, that you will get. And so, God, I thank you. I just pray for this time. Pray for us. Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen. And so the first thing that we have to see here in this passage, in Ephesians chapter 3, let's read this real quick. The first thing that we have to see, answer is, why is Paul in prison? Or if anything, what is this mystery that he's in prison for? And so if you look at verse 1, he says, "For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles." So this idea of him being in prison actually kind of helps you understand the whole passage of why of his, his theology or his reasoning for unity. It'll help us to understand where he's going in this next few verses. And so the question is, why is he in prison? He's in prison because of this mystery that he's talking about. And I know in this passage in verses 1 through 7, he's kind of all over the place. But if you look in verse 6, of Ephesians chapter 3, he says, "This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel." And so, that's our mystery. The mystery is Gentiles are included into the body. The people who are not the people of God are now included into the body. And so, the reason why Paul was in prison and how this connects is, he was in prison because he believed that Gentiles had the same access to God as the Jews did, right? And so, if Paul were to say, you know what, if he didn't preach to the Gentiles, or if he just said, Gentiles are kind of just, they're kind of lower, they're on a lower plane, but because he goes, the Gentiles and those who are outside of God's people, they're all together with you Jews, with us Jews. And because of that, he was put into prison for his beliefs, right? And so he stood for the equality of the Gentile believers with the Jewish believers. And he believed, if we look at this, right, in verse 6, he says the Gentiles are fellow heirs. So we're all heirs. And he says we're all members of one body. So We have the same body, we're the same air, and we all have the same promise. We're all partakers of this promise. And so what he's saying is, you know, I'm in prison because I believe you are accepted into this faith. You are accepted into the family. You are accepted because of the grace of Christ. And so we are all the same. We're not on different levels, but rather we're on the same plane. And so what he's trying to say here is, if we have unity, we give glory to Christ. If we have unity in the body, we give glory to Christ. Because if we do not have unity, then we will not display the gospel. If we do not have unity, the gospel is mute and the gospel is not seen. And so that's the first thing that he begins to show us. And then that's how he begins to kind of flesh this out in this passage. And so if he goes on, this is the first thing we had to see and how our unity gives glory to Christ is, you know, our unity, it shows our understanding of the gospel. And so let's look at verse 7. As Paul continues on, he says, of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. He says in verse 8, to me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach. And so he gives us two things here in this passage. The first of to preach. This was given to him. So to preach to the Gentiles, unsearchable riches of Christ. And so that's the first thing that he wants you to see. And so he was saved. Paul was saved. His purpose here, the unity is found in this preaching of the gospel to all. The preaching of the gospel to all. And so, more specifically, if we were to understand the gospel, we would understand the grace that we have been given. If we are to understand the gospel, we are to understand the grace that has been given, not only to us, not to us individually, but to everyone, right? And so, if you go back to why he was in prison, Jews goes, no, we're on a different plane. We're better than other people. We're better than the Gentiles. And so we're up here and the Gentiles are down here. When Paul goes, no. We're all the same because we're all saved by grace. You are not better than anyone else. You are the same. And so what he's trying to say is, you all have been shown this grace of Christ. You are all been saved. And you all have been, you know, your salvation is all one under Christ. So let's go back, right? He says to preach the riches of Christ. And what is this riches of Christ? Let's go back to chapter 1. Go back to chapter 1 with me. If you go back to chapter 1, he goes on in verse 3. If you look at the language that he uses, he goes, we have been blessed in Christ, right? It says, well, we are chosen in him, right? And he says, he predestined us as sons through Christ, right? And if you look at it, it says, in the beloved, he has blessed us in the beloved. It says, in him we have redemption through his blood. And it is the forgiveness. And so we see he lavished it on us. And he says it was under Christ he wants to unite all things. And so if you look at it, it is all Christ. It is in Christ we have this inheritance. It is in Christ that we have been given this seal. So it is Bodhi. Bodhi says this. What is this? This passage, you know, what does it call? What does it tell us to do? It tells us to do nothing. We do nothing to have our salvation. But rather, if anything, what does it enable us to do? It enables us to do everything. It enables us to be sons and daughters. It enables us to be the heirs of God. It enables us to have the blessing. It enables us to have this unity. And how this grace was given to all. It is nothing that you and I have done. But Paul is saying, look, you're on the same level as everyone else. Jews are not anyone better, but rather we're all in this together. And this is where our unity comes in. Because we all understand the grace of God. Because if you and I understand the riches of his grace, if you and I understand that everything that you and I have comes from Christ, then we would understand And then our lives would begin to go. Our lives would begin, instead of becoming lives of judgment, you know, judging others, the lives of hating others, instead of a life where we are, you know, where our lives are divided up into, you know, our annoyances of other people, our lives are going to become filled with grace. You know, I was having a conversation with Christine yesterday. We were just talking about how hard it is to love people that are different than us. It is so hard to love people that are just not like us. It is hard to get to know them. It is hard, right? It is hard to get to love people when you have different expectations. It is hard not to judge people. I mean, it was even, to be honest, it was even right before the service. I lost my cool. I got upset with some of our workers because I had different expectations. And I was talking to Josh. I'm just like, man, I'm struggling here. I at one hand I'm upset, and on one hand I want better, and on one hand I'm just like, I want things to be a certain way, but then I feel my heart is just, there's no grace there. There's no love there. There's no understanding of the gospel. Because if I understood the gospel, then there would be grace for people who fall short. If that was done, if I were to understand the gospel, there would be grace for people who don't meet my expectations. Because to be honest, we don't even meet our own expectations. You don't even do everything that you say. So how is someone else going to do everything that you believe is how they should act? If I were to understand that I've been shown this grace, if I were to understand that this inheritance is nothing of my doing, if I were to understand that my adoption is nothing of my doing, if I were to understand that the salvation that I will have and this joy that I have is because of nothing that I have done, then instead of hate, then instead of annoyance, then instead of disappointment, and then that all begins to be transformed into love. It all begins to transform into grace. And so we have to see that if we want unity, if we desire unity in this place, we're going to have to understand the gospel first. Because we're all different. Like we talked about it last time, that how we're all so different. We come from different backgrounds. We were raised differently. Parents, you were raised differently from your child. And you youth, your parents were raised differently. So they have a different mindset than you. You have different expectations. If we all understand this grace that has been given to us, then we can see that we're just one body. It is nothing of our past, but it is who we are now, right? It is who we are now. It is our inheritance. It is the idea of you and I are sons and daughters of God. You and I are fighting this together. You and I, we must be in this grace together. We must stand in this grace together. Because if you look at Paul, what does Paul say? Paul says, I have been given this grace, right? And he says, to me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace has been given to me. So Paul knows this grace has been given to us. And if anything, we like to throw around this word savage a lot. Okay, we throw around this word savage because maybe we come back with a good comeback, or maybe someone is just so good at something, so they're such a savage. If anything, Paul was the original original savage of them all, right? He was the one who would go the door to door. He would take the Christians and imprison them. He was the savage. He was the one going, standing by and approving the death of Christians. And he was the enemy. If anything, he was the enemy of who God was. He was the enemy of Christ. He didn't want Christ. And then what God goes, no, I'm going to take you. And I'm going to take you from one being my enemy, being the one who persecuted my people. And I'm going to take you, the one who killed my people. I'm going to make you display of my glory. I'm going to make you this display of uniting you with my people, uniting you with all the Gentiles so you're all on the same plane. My grace will be shown through you in your life because you are a savage, but now you are a son of God. And so we're all on the same plane here. We're all. So sons and daughters because of the gospel, because of the grace that we have been given. So if we all begin to gather around the idea that we are all beloved, we gather around the idea that we're the beloved, we gather around the idea that we're the adopted, we gather around the idea that we're the redeemed, we gather around the idea that we are united in Christ, we are chosen in Him. There is no I'm better than you. There is no I'm greater. I'm on a bit different plane. There's no ranking. But rather, this grace goes out to all. So the gospel must be shown. The gospel must be understood if we desire to see unity. And then the second thing that we have to see, the second thing, how our unity begins to bring glory to Christ, how our unity begins to give Christ the glory. What we have to see is our unity will show that we understand God's plan to unite all things under Christ. So let's read on in this passage. Let's read on in verse 9. He says, and so there's the second two, the second purpose of why he's the gospel. He says in verse 9, and to bring light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. I like this. I like what Paul says here. And so what he's saying here is he was a minister of the gospel to all people, right? And he says here to bring light for everyone for what is the plan of the mystery. He's supposed to tell everyone, hey, everyone, you're included in this passage. In this gospel, you're included. This gospel message is for you. This mystery of Christ dying for your sins is for you. It's for everyone. And so that's the beauty of the gospel. The beauty of the gospel is that it goes out for everyone. It is for everyone to hear. It is for everyone to come into the resting place of God. It is this idea of everyone gets to hear. If we look at this idea of all who are included, this idea goes out from the beginning of time, from before even creation even comes in. So we have to understand God's plan and God's heart, and that God's heart from the beginning was His desire was all to be saved, right? To chapter 1 again, right? He says, before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and blameless, right? And he, in love, He predestined us as adoption through the Son, Jesus Christ. And so this idea of Jesus was not an afterthought after Genesis 3. Jesus was not an afterthought. It was not just a plan B, but rather even before Genesis 1, Jesus was the plan. Even before Genesis 1 even happened, in Genesis 1:1, Jesus was on the heart of God saying, hey, you're going to go. You're going to die for this people that's going to come and reject you. And so if this is God's plan to go, hey, you're included in this. If this is God's plan, we have to get along. We have to understand. We have to understand His plan for us. We have to understand His heart to see all people to be saved. So God's plan is to unite all things. You have to understand why we go on missions, why we're going to San Francisco in 2 weeks. He is to go to all people. His plan is to unite all people, all nations, and all tongues. He desires all to be saved, right? I mean, I mentioned 2 weeks ago that we're all different in here. And I mentioned it earlier, right? Well, some of us, we're the young and old are in here. How some of us were born here in the States and some of us are born in Asia. Right? But this goes deeper than just, we're just different. Or rather, Christianity, we often get the reputation that we're exclusive, right? Christianity usually gets the reputation that if you think differently than us, then, you know, we're going to hate you. So we're seen as haters, right? And Christianity, like, especially when it comes to the hot topics today, like homosexuality, Like, we're the bigots, right? We're the haters today. Because why? They believe we hate everyone. They believe we hate, like, if you're homosexual, we hate you. Like, that's what we're seen as. And we're seen as exclusive. And if you don't think like us, then you're out of here. Sadly and unfortunately, that's not the message we see here in this passage. That's not the message that God had for us for since the beginning. This message was inclusive of all, right? His desire was to just save all people, right? And so this message that we see here is the message of the cross, where he goes, if you want to come. The message of the cross is inclusive to those who desire to come. It says, let all who are thirsty, if you're thirsty, come drink and be satisfied. And even in verse 12, it says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith with him. And so this idea of you have confidence and boldness to approach God, if you think about it, the wickedest of all people, they have confidence, and they can have confidence, and they can come with all boldness and with all confidence and approach God. And all they have to do is repent of their sins. They have to see that Jesus is the one who saves them from their sin. Jesus is the one who has saved them. The gospel is inclusive of all. The gospel is not exclusive, but rather it goes, come, all who are thirsty. Come, who are tired. If you're tired of chasing the world, if you're tired of being disappointed by and getting let down, then come drink from my well and from drink of my cup. And so we see God's plan was to go for all people to come and be united under this, to come and be united under Christ, and we will become a people who all under Christ give glory to Christ because of his saving grace, because of what he has done. It goes back to this point number one of understanding the gospel. And if we were all to come together and go, hey, we are all saved by grace. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter what we struggle with. It doesn't matter how wicked we are. We're all here. And this was God's plan. This was God's desire to have all come. So we give God the glory. We as the body give glory to our head because of he's the one that we're united under. He's the one that we stand under. So if we have no unity, we cannot give glory to Christ. If we have no unity, then this means that our understanding of the gospel is somewhere off. If we have no unity, then we're missing our call to be the body that gives glory to Christ. If we have no unity, then we have no head. So before we even move on to chapters 4 through 6, we really have to understand that we are the body. Before we move on to what we're supposed to do, we have to understand that we are a body that gives glory to our head. Before we move on to chapters 4 through 6, we have to go, yeah, I understand the gospel. I understand this grace that has been given. I understand that how I've been saved. I understand that it is Christ and his gospel and what all that he has done. And that is alone is my salvation. And that alone is the saving grace that we're under. Because what happens if we don't understand how Christ has saved us? If we don't understand, if we take the right believing and separate it from the right doing, then all we're going to be doing is we're going to work our self-righteousness. We're going to work and do things to gain our way to God. And we're going to become like the Jews and go, you know, I have a better status. I save myself. And it's just about doing right to be right with God, rather doing right because we are already right with God. So we have to understand who we are in Christ. We have to understand that our unity is found in Christ. That we all have faith in Christ. And so we as a body must be unified. We as a body have to see that our unity is essential and critical to giving him the glory. So let's slow down, Let's go back and read chapters 1 through 3. Before Pastor Wei comes up and speaks through the second half of chapter 3. And within these next few weeks, read through 1 through 3. Understand the gospel. Understand this mystery that God has for us. This mystery that all are included. That this mystery of the plan that God has to unite all things under Christ. To under this mystery that we are the body. That we are a body to give Christ glory because He is our head. So let's pray. God, we come before